On this week's episode, O.J. Simpson and other sports news, a police shooting in Chicago, and the Powerball conspiracy. Plus, a hiker is rescued off the side of a mountain via helicopter. Welcome to the Fireside.
Time last night and got beat up a little bit.
Oh yeah, what did you guys
do? I think we gotta play four times. Ooh. And I set my alarm to get up at 6:30, pack my shit up and leave because we're off at 7.
Yeah.
And my alarm went off. I just don't even really remember turning it off. Next thing I know, it's
you're home. You don't even know how you got here.
I've been there.
Been there.
It wasn't that bad, but yeah. Like all of a sudden, one of the engines is getting a call at like 7:25, and I kind of opened my eyes. I'm like,
Fuck. Yeah. I gotta hurry.
I was like, why is why is the engine tone on? Like, I'm on the rescue. Like, oh fuck, it reset because it's past 7.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm just fucking tired.
Sucks,
dude.
Man.
And the night before I didn't sleep well because we're on our normal shift.
On our shift.
I was up till about 12 fucking around doing stuff, trying to get ready for a show. And then I kind of forgot I had to be up at 4 o'clock to get home so Tammy could get to work. She had a big review thing going. So
did you leave early?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I left at 4:30.
Okay.
And so yeah, 4 hours of sleep then, a couple hours last night.
I remember you texted me that you were working overtime and I was in the gym. And normally you walk through and I never see you.
No, I was fucking gone.
Gone.
So little underprepared. Most of the things I have.
Yeah.
Like, you know, how I said that quick reaction stuff. I was going to do like, call it the quick attack, if you will.
Quick attack. I like it.
All borrow a firefighter phrase. So right. I got most of the things like quick attacks. Like, hey, here's just a little couple things to chew on.
Perfect.
Nothing deep.
Perfect. So I don't have anything. So I got a lot of shit. Not a lot of substance.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah, so that's cool, man. I got a couple hot button topics to talk about. See kind of if hopefully if you know a little bit more about these topics than I do, just off the dive I've done on some of these. But
it's doubtful given my last few days.
Good, man. I got tons of funny videos, so we can always react to some videos.
Fantastic. Show 16?
16.
16. All right.
Sweet 16, dude.
Hell yeah, brother.
Hell yeah.
Show 16. I would be remiss if we didn't automatically mention O.J. Simpson passing.
Yeah.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. I saw a meme that said the greatest Bronco ever.
Fucking, as Caitlyn Jenner so eloquently put it this morning in a tweet, good riddance.
Yeah.
Like, damn. All right.
Crazy that that case. So, I mean, I remember all of that. I remember
we were in high school.
The Bronco chase. I remember the whole trial deal, you know, Cato getting on the stand, the whole deal.
Cato.
They never found her killer.
Well, I think they did.
I mean, but I'm just saying, like, they've never convicted anybody. You look at all these cases, right. They go back and they're like, oh, we found DNA evidence from the 80s. Yeah. And now in 2012, you're going to jail. But they still couldn't figure this one out.
Well, they got they know who did it.
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
We all know who did it.
Didn't have enough evidence, apparently.
Right. That glove didn't fit.
Right.
Fucking unbelievable.
Isotoner. Yeah.
But man, yeah, fucking OJ dead.
Pretty wild.
Cancer. I didn't even know he had cancer. Like,
I didn't either.
I don't follow OJ's very closely.
I think he's still considered one of the greatest running backs ever.
You know what? I haven't looked statistically, but I mean,
I haven't either. I just saw that they were talking about this morning.
Yeah. I'd be interested to look at stats and see what,
how he ranks.
See where he ranks. Yeah. I mean, cause yeah, Heisman Trophy winner, like USC, right?
Yep.
Fucking.
For the record, Adam's not in studio today. So we don't have somebody pulling up data in the background and showing stats. So it's just us.
Nor will I be doing that. I gotta focus. I gotta be right here.
I got you.
So, but speaking of statistics and great football players, I happened to stumble across a hot take from Cam Newton on Shannon Sharpe's podcast, Club Shay Shay.
Okay.
So I decided I'm going to watch the whole fucking thing.
Does he talk about the fight?
If he does, it's at the very end. So I got probably 3/4 of the way through it and I had to go. But so this is what caught my eye. He was talking about, they randomly got into the topic of Kirk Cousins' contract.
Uh-huh.
4 years, $180 million, $100 million guaranteed.
Wow.
Wild numbers, right? That's crazy.
Wow. Yeah.
And, you know, I'm just going to play the video here. I'll let you see what you think of it.
$180 million.
$180 million.
God, Lord.
So let's go.
There he is with his hat.
You had a very interesting take on Kirk Cousins.
And I love the fact that he's able to get that money. But what the Falcons paid Kirk Cousins, they could have got Cam Newton, Justin Fields, and Michael Vick for that price.
You do realize they could have gave up two first rounders and got Lamar Jackson for.
You're giving this person the money coming off an injury? So
that's wild.
Yeah.
How am I supposed to feel? Because the same questions and the same concerns that you had with me, obviously you done overlooked that.
You see, don't have those concerns with him.
And if you give Kirk Cousins my resume, he probably would have got more.
This is where he loses me.
But I'm tripping.
Yeah.
But I'm bitter.
But I'm tripping. But I'm bitter. Yeah, that's where I decided to end it.
Well, and it makes you wonder because those talent scouts, the office staff, there's things going on that the general public doesn't always hear, right? They talk about the mentality that people have, the way they interact with people in the locker room. Like, maybe there was something more with Cam.
What do you think, just based off what he says? The thing that got me was...
The stats. Yeah.
So I decided to
look. I don't know the stats.
I decided to look it up. I won't give you every stat, but I decided to look it up and see exactly what he's talking about. You give him my resume.
Yeah.
Now, when you just read off his resume, what Shannon Sharpe did at the top of the show,
yeah,
talk about his accolades in college,
yep,
couple all pros.
He's got some great accolades. Cam Newton's a freak.
He does. But when you talk about career numbers,
right,
Kirk Cousins got him beat by like 10,000 yards. He's got him beat by like 70 touchdowns and 10 less interceptions.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what are we talking about here?
Yeah.
Like, and another thing too, when you were getting your big money back when you were fucking Cam Newton playing for the Panthers, it was different money back then.
Right.
You know what I mean? It wasn't $100 million guaranteed, $180 million contract. That wasn't it. And
that was a big deal. Now those numbers get thrown around a lot more than when he was.
Oh, yeah. You're talking about Patrick Mahomes, $500 million contract, shit like that. And that's like, you still think, wow. But at the same time, you're like, all right, it's Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
So Shannon Sharpe did give him a little bit of pushback on some things, which I enjoyed watching because Cam Newton unchecked isn't a good thing.
Right.
I mean, the dude's got an ego. Rightfully so. He's a stud.
It's like Cat Williams unchecked. Saying he runs a 4.3.
Yeah. Eventually, you got to call some guys on some shit.
Right.
And he gave him some pushback. So, I mean, if you're interested at all, anybody out there, I'll link the episode. It's pretty good. If you're interested in Cam Newton as an athlete, as a person, it's pretty cool. I like he's got a cigar club / restaurant / bar. He opened in Atlanta. Looks pretty legit.
We should go and video it and put that in the show.
I want to do that here in Phoenix.
Show trip.
It's like, hey, Cam,
all right,
to give me the game plan. Yeah, I want to do this in Phoenix. Yeah.
We'll franchise it.
Yeah, that would be fucking amazing. I would love
to. What's the name of it? Do you know? It's got to have a great name.
It is, damn it, he says it 100 times in the show, too. It is
Feather in My Cap, Cigar Bar.
It might be Fellowship or something like that. Something like that. Something in that vein.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like Cam Newton just kind of as a figure.
Yeah.
He's interesting to me.
I will say when he was playing, especially in college and then his transition to the NFL, he was one of my favorite players to watch.
Yeah.
I liked his athleticism. I liked his build. He was a big guy. He was going in, you know, as a quarterback, going head first, taking hits, and he was a beast, you know. I do wonder, there is a part of me that wonders, one, if there's any CTE there just because of where he's gone.
He didn't start wearing those hats in the beginning of his career. Yeah,
exactly. He didn't start dressing like Gam until later.
It's funny that you say that. Shannon Sharpe asked him, like, do you ever get tired of people saying you dressing like an auntie and this and that? And he's like, bring your girl around me.
Oh, okay.
Like,
yeah, all right. But I do wonder, too, like, there was definitely towards the end of his playing career, there was a lot of questions raised about the hits that he was allowed to take and not get penalized because he's a bigger guy, because of the things that were happening. And he even has been vocal about it towards the end of his career of, the hits I was taking, the plays that were being made on me, like those are flagged on Tom Brady, on all these other quarterbacks, but not on me because they say, well, you're bigger, which I wonder how much
Josh Allen gets the same kind of treatment. Roethlisberger did too.
Right. But initially with him, I wonder if that hindered his statistics, if that hindered his play style, if mentally that broke him because he wasn't getting the treatment that all these other, you know what I mean? Like, man, there's such that mental edge to sports, especially the quarterback position involved, that if you get that hiccup or if you get those feelings or you start thinking, well, they're not going to call it, like, you kind of almost have that pity party and that affects your play. I wonder statistically if he could have been better.
Yeah. I mean,
I did like watching him play.
That's a question you'd have to ask him. Yeah. Cam Newton, if you're listening, come on, man. But
yeah, spot.
He's got a couple podcasts himself. One of them was called like Fourth and One. It kind of like the Shannon Sharp vein is Shannon Sharp's got his Club Shay Shay, and then he's got like Nightcap. So he's got like a couple little deals there. And one of Cam Newton's is called Fourth and One. I don't know what the other one is, but he's doing his thing out there. The little Cam Newton news. Bring it back.
Yeah. If we ever, this ever takes off, let's do a morning show and a night show.
Morning and night.
Yeah.
We got to quit our jobs.
Okay.
All right. I'm All down. Right.
That's what I said. If this ever takes off, this would really have to take off.
I got
to
be making a decent amount of money with some benefits.
Yeah, it's got to be worth it at that point.
Give me 3 more years till the pension kicks in.
Okay.
Yeah, and then we'll.
All right.
I'll quit in 3 years if we're making money.
In sports news, I don't know if you saw the game. This was in the headlines the other day, but did you see the hockey match
where everyone just
did all 5 at the puck drop?
I did. See
so that. I linked a video of that. I thought that was pretty awesome. I love watching hockey. I don't follow it as religiously as I could. I haven't followed it for years.
I love hockey. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
All right.
So when I was a kid, I'll follow it up after this video. So
puck drop.
Yeah. Puck drop.
Hold on. Hold on. Wait for it. Go.
Nobody cares. Nope. All gloves off. All sticks down.
It's why everyone's looking for a dude to ball
Everybody
with.
On each team. Yeah.
There were two dudes that just kind of skated off into the abyss there. I don't know what happened with those guys.
Yeah, but everybody just kind of throws down, and then it kind of singles in on these two guys going at it. But I thought it was pretty awesome watching that. I was like, yes.
I don't follow hockey too much, but I know it stemmed from the previous game that these two played. And it had to do with, again, don't watch
it. It typically does.
Yeah, and it was this dude right here in particular that had a hard check on somebody. It looked like he fucking broke his neck. Going into the
glass. This guy was the enforcer they sent out, and they're like, all right, handle business.
I guess, yeah.
When I was a kid, the Roadrunners, they were a feeder team for the Kings. We played at the Coliseum, and my grandfather had season tickets. So as a kid, we went all the time. That's all I remember, like a lot of from my youth. Like, we were at those sporting events all the time. So it was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I love seeing that.
I never went to the Roadrunners. Funny, my mom used to go to the Roadrunners, but yeah, we're just like, Suns, like when I was a kid, it was the Suns. I was
Suns games,
and I think that's one more sports related headline.
Good, because I got 3 more.
Our boy T Sizzle got arrested, pulled a gun on somebody.
I heard about that.
Yeah, I didn't look. I just kind of saw the.
I meant to look that up and didn't. Like, oh, Suggs. Shit. Yeah, Terrell Suggs.
I didn't. Yeah, I just linked it here. Let's see what it says. I didn't get too far into it. Let's just see what it looks like. This is a TMZ deal.
Yeah, so he was arrested in Arizona for assault.
Sorry, there you go. Oh, man, click the link in the bio to read the full story. Yeah. I ain't got time for that. Come on.
Yeah, so anyway, maybe I'll try and pull it up.
Yeah, it's in the TMZ, but I'm sure you can find it somewhere here in town. What did he do now?
Like, I wonder if he got caught that dude that hit him from high school that talked about that last show.
He finally found him.
Yeah.
That would be amazing.
Gotcha. So it says... he issued a statement after the incident in a Starbucks drive-through.
A Starbucks drive-through?
Yeah, so it says it began at a Starbucks drive-through on March 10th.
As most problems
when
do.
When Suggs allegedly reversed his vehicle and struck another car. A heated exchange followed, and Suggs allegedly showed a handgun through his window while threatening to kill the man on the other end of the argument. Can you imagine you're in the Bucks? Trying to pay it forward.
Trying to get my
ice
latte
for the guy behind you.
Yeah.
Guy reverses into you and waves a gun at you.
Yeah. And you just like, man, talk about killing your morning buzz.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot, T Sizzle. That's a dick move. Like, and without knowing much about what happened, maybe this other guy was fucking starting to get a little crazy and Suggs is like, hey, I got this. Do you want to take it there?
Well, and you'll never know for sure, but that guy issued his statement. The guy who was in the vehicle, he says, or whoever it was, male or female, it says, I was in a quiet area of Scottsdale in the middle of the day in a Starbucks drive-thru near my home when an incident happened with a vehicle behind me. Oh, that's what Suggs said. I was getting coffee. I was not looking for any trouble when the man in the other vehicle escalated the situation. I feared for my safety, not knowing what his intentions were. Throughout the incident, I was the one who felt in danger while fearing I would be followed home and for the safety of my family nearby at my residence.
Here's the thing. I can kind of get on board with that. is because, like, you're Terrell Suggs, number one.
Yeah, you're famous.
If it's just like a fist fight and the dude's like pushing you or something, like, you're going to handle business. Like, he's a big motherfucker who's not afraid of a fight by all accounts here in the Valley.
Sure.
Like, the dude is okay to fight. Now, if I see Terrell Suggs and he was coming towards me, maybe I do start getting a little squirrely and like, oh, reach for a gun or something. Terrell Suggs pulls his first.
Yeah.
And like, hey, calm down. Maybe he did fear for his life. I don't know.
I just think it's you got to say that. You've got to pull that card no matter what. If there's any weapons involved, everybody knows you're in fear for your life.
I'm always afraid for my life.
Also, you're Terrell Suggs.
I know.
That's bad motherfucker.
That's the other side of the coin.
Big dude. Big guy. You're a beast. You're going to handle business regardless.
What size is he?
Starbucks parking lot.
Look at his height and weight.
He's fucking big.
He's got to be like 6'4", 250, right?
He's bigger than me.
He's bigger than you?
Yes. He's probably 270.
Yeah, what is it? What's he listed at?
So 6'3", 6'3", 265.
He's a big dude.
But lean.
Yeah.
265. He's
a big dude. And again, on the field, fairly violent. And by all accounts, from people that you talk to around town, maybe a little violent.
Yeah. He's probably got a screw loose somewhere.
And when I say violent, I like, don't say like he's going around kicking everyone's ass.
No, but he's
but if you challenge him, capable he's not of backing violence. Down.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. He's a savage, dude.
Yeah. See what comes of that.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. Let's see, what else did I have? Ooh, I didn't close my notes. So Colin, kind of, do you have any more sports stuff?
No, that's
so check it out. Man. So I got three more. One of them's a face slam.
Okay.
But three more, they're kind of in a row. So did you see this video of this kid in my notion?
Did I just erase your shit? No, that was mine.
I hope not.
Okay. So you
So are, this kid's playing Little League.
Which is it here?
Hey batter. So it'll go in order.
Hey batter.
So he's at the plate, they throw a pitch, and a foul ball from another field flies in the path, and he hits both balls.
Oh shit, is that what happened?
At the same time.
Wow.
Like, the odds of that are like the Randy Johnson pitch into the pigeon that flies by.
I got to say, that's even more incredible.
Dude, that's insane. So a foul ball from another field flies into the path that he's swinging at the pitch that he's pitched at, and he hits both balls.
The ball that's being played to him goes to third base.
Yeah.
Who plays the pop-up to right field?
Is that kind of like a baseball shell game? Like, you don't know which is the real one?
That would make baseball so much more fun.
Genius.
Dude,
I feel like that's some banana ball shit.
But yeah, that's banana ball.
That's wild.
If you hear the crack of the bat, though, and you're in right field, I'm playing that ball. Like, ting-ting. You have no idea what happened. Like, that's wild shit, dude.
So, but I mean, what are the odds? Like, one in a million deal. I'm sure greater than one in a million, but I thought that was super cool. As a kid, you got to be super hyped after that. You know what I mean?
I wonder how the ump wound up calling that.
Yeah, like, I don't know.
Did he get thrown out at first? I want to see the end of the play.
Yeah. So anyway, I thought that was pretty cool. Yeah. And then before you click on the next one, remember like when we first got hired, like there was the 300 workout, and then there was the Navy SEAL workout was real big, and then P90X was a thing, right?
The Navy SEAL all the time.
There's a new workout trend. It's like brand new. It's like the new UFC fight training. I don't know if it's UFC actually branded, but it's like if you want to be a fighter, like this is the training you got to go through. So this is just the workout regimen that these guys have. So I don't know if it's starting in like India or where it's at.
Fuck.
This guy's hype, doing kicks, hangs from the ring, does the splits in the air.
No.
This dude just goes to town on his sack.
No, this is actually the new basketball training. If you have to
just
guard,
taking it.
If you have to guard Draymond Green during a game,
oh,
this is the training you gotta do.
NBA training.
Why?
Just showing how tough your balls are.
Dude, at what point in your day say, hey, you know, it'd be great? Are they just trying to make viral TikTok videos?
I got one for the gram.
Just blast my sack.
I feel like if we had production meetings or if we had meetings on shows, like it might lead to this. So it's probably better that we just wing it.
Dude, just throw some ones and twos in my dick and let's see what happens.
And then I had, this was in contention for the.
Hold on. It does have over 500,000 likes. So it's working.
We should make one.
I get the glove.
So then the next one was up for contention for face slam of the week.
Gam gam face slam.
So this is, I mean, we've seen these a million times. You've seen these videos a million times, same play, but I like this one.
This is a good one.
Just checking out
that
the
is
phone.
An interesting tweet, sweetie. Oh my
god.
Boom.
The slow mo, God, the reaction of it. Oh. What's even better is I think her husband was next to her and he watches it all the way in until the last second.
Does he? He does. He's eyeballing
it. He's side eyeing it. And at the last second, he's like, I might.
He just wanted to make sure it didn't hit him.
Absolutely.
Like, yeah. Oh, so, man. But she took that ball. It blows her glasses into three pieces. Look at this.
She took every ounce of that basketball to her face.
Hey, man, the only thing I got to say to this is head on a swivel.
Absolutely. Dude, you cannot go to a sporting event. So it's funny because we're going to Boston tomorrow and my wife got us Red Sox tickets to take the kids to the game.
Nice.
And so we're sitting in the outfield and she's like, oh, the website says this is the best seat. This is the best seat. And I said, well, it's saying this is the best seat because if somebody jacks a homer, like it's going to land over here. And she's like, oh, that'll be great. I go, listen, I'm telling you right now, I am not going to be on TV as being the dad whose kid got hit in the head or his wife got hit in the head because they're not paying attention. You better be paying attention because I'm not guaranteeing that I can save
you. You're going to be the dad on screen holding a beer.
The beer and not dropping an ounce. Boom. Yeah.
Grabs it.
I got a chance to be a hero, I'm taking it, dude.
Dude, you talk about Superman, Spider-Man, all these heroes.
They got shit on dads.
They ain't got shit on the guy that can fucking hold his beer, dive for a foul ball, or save
not
his
spill
kid.
A drop.
All simultaneously.
Absolutely.
It's amazing.
So that was the end of my sports clips, my sports news, the fight training. I was like, that's legit, dude.
I don't.
Balls of steel.
Even just to get clicks, I'm not letting my friend just go ham on my nutsack. I'm not.
And I guess my question would be is like, that wasn't the first take or the first time you tried that.
Definitely not the first time
you've done that before. You already had the handle in place. You know where you got to put your feet. Like. What is the practice? What is the practice session for that look?
He's got to be wearing a cup.
I don't know. Or he's flat in front like Ken. I don't know, dude.
I'm gonna say this. It's gonna be a little controversial.
Okay. Oh, you don't even have to say it. I know where you're you going. Sure? Oh yeah, I know exactly.
Then I won't
saying.
Say it. Maybe it's just a smaller target. I don't know.
Very well could be.
All right.
Yeah. So I had that, and then I was gonna ask you. So you were working yesterday and I came across the tech stuff.
Uh-huh. What do you got?
Some tech news. So this company.
The Lift Assist one?
Dude. Yes.
Okay.
So play that.
All right. Let's let it run.
Sorry. I don't have any info on it. It's just the video.
I did see this. Cursor.
So they have this.
I thought.
It looks like a skid steer with a belt fed ramp on the front. Lifts this guy, doesn't move his neck because it slides under.
And puts him right in a wood
chipper. It puts him right, and they show it on a dummy. Like, that's probably not as safe, but they support the neck with it, lift it up, the strap.
Dude, it looks like they put him right into a wood chipper. That's what I thought I saw when this. Might be onto something.
So anyway, that a robotic vehicle. So we were talking about AI. We're talking about the robots, all the things that they're doing. I'll throw it out there. If anybody knows this guy, if any of our six viewers knows this guy,
I think you can get like 12 at
this 12 point. Viewers and get him in touch with us. I will sell this to our second floor for a small commission.
The only thing about this is it's like we have no problem lifting people out in the open.
Sure.
It's the people that are stuck behind the toilet, the 300-pound guy that somehow.
In Satan's Triangle.
Dude, yeah.
The space between the toilet,
for those
the
of
back
you
wall,
don't know what Satan's Triangle
and
is.
Sink.
Yeah. Dude, yeah. That's the problem. Or in their bathtub. Always naked, slippery.
Soaking wet, yeah, naked.
That's the problem with the guy.
They just lathered up with soap but didn't rinse.
We need some sort of like exoskeleton. Again, this is one of my genius ideas that I'm not going to follow through on.
Don't steal it.
But you need some sort of hydraulic exoskeleton that you could strap to their legs, their waist, and their chest.
Okay, them.
Them, the patient. Okay. Yeah, and then you are able to operate this hydraulic. You're still going to need some assistance from the guys to manipulate their limbs and stuff like that.
Sure.
But that hydraulic lift does everything. It attaches your ankles, your knees, your hips.
So they shoulders. Have to be in it all the time?
No, just while we're lifting them.
Like, so we have to be able to manipulate them, put them in the suit, lay them back down?
It can go on each side. So you don't have to like move them around to get them on like a carry-all or anything like that. It's like, boom, you strap it to this side, you strap it to that side, and then we're able to hit a button.
So it's almost like a basket, like a Stokes basket. You can slide them under, roll them.
Yeah, but it's much more in my brain.
Didn't we talk about
it compacts down like one of these mic arms?
When we were working together previously, didn't we talk about building and setting up a rail system in houses?
Yes.
And having that set up. So if somebody falls, you can clip them in, connect them to the rail system and lift them up.
Yeah.
And we would just go around. We would sell that. We would install. That was another $1 billion idea.
So yeah, like a belt that goes to the freaking tether system on the ceiling. You just walk around, fall. No,
it's just
deal.
A track on the ceiling. It stays out of the way, but it's there when they need it.
And if we don't care for those people, we put it around their neck. And if they fall.
game over.
That would be better than this. Don't do that.
I think we lose customers that way. Yeah, so I had that. And then also in some tech news, there is a company called Colossal Bioscience.
This China battery?
No, next one.
I see it there. And, extinct animal reversal?
Yeah, so they claim they have the technology to bring back extinct animals like the mammoth, the dodo, and the Tasmanian tiger.
Yeah, this is for real.
Which is not far-fetched, right? Because we've heard about people wanting to clone mammoths for a long time, right? So they say they hope to reintroduce extinct animals back in the wild. And I want to say it was by like 2028. CEO Ben Lam says all the technologies are in place. They're just focusing now all 100% of their time on funding. And the process behind this project involves identifying and replicating unique genes of these extinct animals using DNA of their closest living relatives. And then basically he attributed it to, or likened it to, Jurassic Park, and basically saying it's just reverse of what they do in that film. So I think from the holy shit factor, or the oh my God factor, like, it starts with a mammoth, a dodo, and a Tasmanian tiger. And then we legitimately have Jurassic Park. Like, where does it end? Who's going to govern this?
Yeah, I don't
care
for this.
Is this the FDA? Is this, you know what I mean? Like, what company oversees this?
What was the name of the group in Jurassic Park that took over and just started making the wild shit?
I can't remember.
I can't. Yeah, we don't want those guys in charge.
Mm-mm. But I'm just saying, how wild is that? And like, and they're, if they get the funding and they can go through with this experiment, and their goal is to have this in place by 2028. Like, they say, like, the hardest part of this, of each animal. So each of the three that they listed, the hardest part for each one is different. So like with the mammoth, it's the gestation period because they have to use an Asian elephant, and it takes 2 years for this embryo.
So they're going to take an existing elephant and get this abomination.
And
put this
embryo and implant it into this. Yeah.
Where are the ethics committee on that one?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying, is like, who's governing this? I haven't done enough research into this. I was just reading this article.
Elephant lives matter
super,
too.
Super crazy.
You can just put a woolly mammoth in there.
Yeah.
Hey, well, I mean, we've cloned sheep. How long ago was that sheep? Well,
and then the other question to that is, so they're in quotes saying their ultimate goal is to put all the animals we make back into the wild. How does that work?
It's not a good
idea.
You
hear about animals from other countries or other habitats or other ecosystems coming into other ones and like totally species. Throwing off the balance of an ecosystem or of you know,
looking
for a certain animal population. What is introducing a woolly mammoth back into society? A Tasmanian tiger, like, and that's the beginning. It's those three are the beginning. Where does it go from there? And what does that look like?
Yeah, like all of a sudden you put a T-Rex in Africa and all of a sudden everything's gone. Dude, except for the T-Rex.
You've got tigers in India just snatching folks. Jaguars snatching folks.
Yeah.
What's going to happen when you start introducing, you know, other predators?
Saber-tooth tigers.
Yeah.
Dude, it's a bad idea. Yeah, this shit can't go unchecked.
No.
Hear me now.
Yeah,
world.
I just wanted to get that
we
out
need
there.
To get
I
want
to talk about
shit.
That ahead of time so people are aware that shit's going on.
Dude, between the cloning of the animals and the fucking AI Terminators coming for
brain
us.
Chips.
I wonder where I fought. Like,
it's just going to get crazy, dude.
The brain chip thing, man. I keep going back to it. I'm probably going to get one at some point.
Yeah.
Before I'm dead.
You think so?
Yeah. Because let's say I'm.
Do you think I'll be ready? I mean, ready for mass by the time you're dead?
Look at how. We've already talked about this. How fast is everything moving?
Yeah, that's true.
We're going to have.
By 2030.
We're going to have functional, legit brain chips.
Yeah.
In the next 10, 15 years. They're going to work. And like, think about this. Like, maybe not our kids, but our grandkids. Like, if you don't have that implanted in you, you're left behind.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you're the dummy that can't figure out how to do division while these guys are advanced calculus and beyond, because everything's just right there.
Did you ever see, did you ever watch that series, Black Mirror?
I have not.
So, like, the very first episode is very similar to this. I don't know if it was their trailer season or what. I think there was three episodes. But the very first episode, they have these implants in people that basically allow you to store your memories. It's just a storage device.
I did see.
And
I
then
saw,
you can go
that.
Back and replay and watch
I
your
did
memories.
See that one episode.
And there's a chick in there who she had an issue. She's talking to them at a dinner party and she had an issue and she got scarred. She had to have it removed.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody at the table was like, oh my God, like, what is that like? Isn't that horrible being the only one that doesn't have this? And she's like, no, actually it's kind of nice. And she was the outcast. She was a weirdo because she didn't have it.
Exactly.
And she was happier. Like, or, you know, she said she was happy. She didn't have to worry about things. Everything was good. But yeah, I wonder, like you say, are people going to be made to feel like outcasts?
Yes, of course. I mean, I don't know, outcast maybe, but for sure you're going to feel left behind.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
you're going to be at an unfair disadvantage for sure.
Especially when it comes to the workplace and stuff like that. Yeah. Or, you know, starting businesses, all that. You're going to be left way behind. People are going to have
Mario Kart.
Playing Mario Kart. Yeah. If you don't have it, you're fucked.
Yeah.
So yeah, before I die, I'm going to get me one. What's the worst that can happen? I die. I'm 85 and I'm like,
sure.
Let's roll the dice. Let's see if this gives me another 15 years. I die tomorrow. Fuck it. I was 85.
You have 15 hours.
15 hours. That's it. Yeah.
Well, I'm saying, like, you get 15 years or 15 hours. It's
that might
why
be
not a, try it at that
might
point.
Be a tougher decision. Do you only get 15 hours? Like, I need like 6 months to prepare get my affairs in order.
I don't know. I think that's kind of a weird, crazy, uncharted territory. It's a weird deal.
It's happening. It's fucking happening.
Yeah.
What do you get? What's the China battery?
So China, we talked about it. I didn't get a chance to go over it last show, but. So there's a company called BetaVolt. It's a Chinese startup, and they just revealed their mini nuclear battery that has a 50-year lifespan and no recharging needed. And basically, it's a compact atomic energy device, smaller than a coin, and it integrates 63 nuclear isotopes for efficient power generation. So from what my understanding is, it works on degenerating isotopes, nuclear isotopes.
Mm-hmm.
And so after a successful pilot testing, the mini nuclear battery is set for mass production, targeting diverse applications like aerospace, AI equipment, medical devices, microprocessors, drones, and micro robots. So we had kind of talked about it. What do you do when you now have the AI-driven robot that has the language learning model, the processing model, can evolve on its own, and it's alive for 50 years without needing to recharge, and its battery is just running?
There's got to be a way to, well, okay.
Can you turn it off?
Again, science fiction's way ahead of you. Okay. The movie iRobot.
Yes.
Remember they go to that graveyard of robots? They're all still on, but they're just in like freaking Connex boxes.
In limbo.
Yeah. It's there. And speaking of iRobot, I don't know if I mentioned this last show or not. Apple is trying to make robots for like household stuff. Like, hey, we're going to use AI and robotics. And
well, we showed those videos of the ones folding clothes and all those companies that are in the very beginning phases of those stages.
I picture it looking like an iRobot with a big shiny Apple logo right in the middle.
Yeah.
And that.
Did you see the one, the ChatGPT or the OpenAI one? That it has the visor. It looks like the one from iRobot, but the front is a screen. The face of the screen, and it said OpenAI across front of it. Like, it would change different things.
No.
No. Oh, okay.
But I asked Dali to make me a picture of what an Apple robot would look like. And where the hell is it? Is this it? No, I can't find it. But it came up with something pretty terrifying.
Yeah, I don't doubt it.
I think I gave the prompt like, what would a robot made by Apple designed to do household chores, what would it look like? And it looked like the fucking Terminator. Where the fuck is that thing? That's
I mean, we laugh about it now.
Yeah,
until it's real.
Oh, this is the Google robot that I...
That's pretty cool looking.
Yeah, but why does he have a rocket launcher on his back? See that?
You never know when you're going to need it, man.
Need a fucking rocket launcher? And this looks like the robot from... you ever watch that show?
Voltron.
No, it's an old series, but Netflix did a recreation of it. It is...
Is it Space Odyssey?
No, Space something. Damn it. Wasn't bad. Danger Will Robinson. That.
Oh,
Dude, I watched the whole thing. Why can't I think of it? But that was the Google one. But the Apple one, maybe the Apple one looked a little more friendly. Yeah, the Apple
one. Lost in Space.
Lost in Space. Yeah, look at the Apple one. Looks a little more friendly.
A little bit, but why is it still like ultra jacked?
Super jacked. Why do you need what do you need all that mass for?
Why does it look like Terrell Suggs in robot form?
Yeah.
Like, that's.
Look at that thing. Yeah, he's got a cute little face.
He's got a side job as a linebacker on the. Like, what do you.
Things the size of a silverback gorilla. I mean, dude, terrifying.
But it's pretty cool looking.
I've been playing around a lot with that Dolly lately. It's pretty cool.
We got to do some logos, make some shirts and stuff, some merch for our 12 followers.
Do we have fuck the 12 followers. I want a hat.
I'm saying I want my own.
I'm a big hat and t-shirt guy.
I know you are.
Do we know a merch guy?
Yeah.
Like a t-shirt hat guy?
I'm sure we can find one.
For my old business, I went to Branded Bills.
Yeah.
Did hats there. They came out really well.
Yeah, maybe we could get a sponsor.
Branded Bills, if you're listening.
I got some other stuff to talk about.
What do you got?
Are you familiar with the whole Dexter Reed thing that's going on?
Dexter Reed?
Yeah.
No.
So I have a article linked to it and I have a video linked to it of the body cam footage. So Dexter Reed, I want to say it was March 21st. Is that correct? So a death of a guy named, yeah, March 21st. The video was a different link below it.
April 10th was the video? March 21st. Okay.
So March 21st, shooting death of a man named, I think he was 26 years old, black man named Dexter Reed in Chicago.
Officials in Chicago have released body cam video of a deadly police shooting. It shows officers firing 96 times at a driver they pulled over.
96 times?
I just warn you, the video is disturbing. The Chicago Fraternal Order of Police have not responded to CBS News' request for comment, but an independent investigation says initial evidence shows the driver, 26-year-old Dexter Reed, fired the first shot. The plainclothes officers say they had stopped Reed on suspicion of not wearing a seatbelt. Or Jared Hill has more.
Do not roll the window up.
Chicago police officers were in the middle of a traffic stop last month.
Unlock the doors now.
When they say 26-year-old Dexter Reed, driving a white SUV, did not comply with their commands.
Unlock the doors now.
A civilian review board investigating the incident says Reed fired first.
Shots fired!
Officers returned fire, shooting 96 rounds in just 41 seconds.
It's multiple officers, not one.
Yeah, exactly.
Reed got out of his car and fell to the ground as officers kept firing at him. He died later at a hospital.
Are you hit?
One officer was injured when he was shot in the arm during the incident.
We need an ambulance. Officers hit.
The five officers have been placed on administrative leave. The city's mayor is pledging a full independent investigation, calling the footage deeply disturbing.
I'm personally devastated to see yet another young black man lose his life during an interaction.
Okay, I'm going to stop this right there. I just watched, literally yesterday, a video of a young white man who, and again, these body cam things give you kind of an idea how fast things happen and how quick cops have to make a decision. They're just telling this guy to get out of, they have, this is the white guy, his door's open. They have the car door open, but he's not wanting to get out. He keeps saying, they keep like, hey, undo your seatbelt, get out. And he's like, what? I can't. I'm not going to do it. I can't get my seatbelt. And he's got his hand right here. Like he's going to unbuckle his seatbelt. Then all of a sudden whips around with a gun real quick.
Yeah.
And they kill him. They probably fired into that vehicle 30, 40 something times between the three officers.
Was it all over the news?
No.
Huh. That's weird. Why not?
I don't know. He fucking died.
Oh, that's weird.
But again, much like this situation, you have this quick to make a decision.
So I was watching this and this whole topic with me strikes a nerve. And I actually was getting fired up thinking about it on the way here. So there's a lot to unpack here, right?
Sure.
Totally tragic. 26-year-old man lost his life. His mom does a press conference. She buckles down. His sister's in the face of people.
Think of that, horrible.
However, so he was allegedly what they cited in their report was that they stopped him for a seatbelt violation.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what they said. He had also been previously stopped for the same violation at another point in time, a seatbelt violation. Mm-hmm. Also at the time he was parked in a crosswalk. Okay. So they didn't cite that as the reason they stopped him, but it was another thing that was going on.
He was parked in a crosswalk.
Yep.
Okay.
And he's also awaiting a hearing for gun charges.
Okay, so you already know this.
All prior to this. Okay, so I just want to give some details. That being said, he also fired the first shot at them. You can see that in the video, and he hits an officer. So my feeling is this, okay? This guy at some point determined that his pursuit of freedom and being free was greater than the cost of his life. He decided,
or that I'm willing to take somebody else's life.
Right.
Yeah.
In the pursuit of being free. Sure. Right. So at some point he decided it's more important for me to get out of the situation and be free and run from the cops, which you're not going to get away, than it is to go to jail and be alive. Okay. We talk about this all the time. We say this all the time. You play stupid games, you win stupid prizes. You can't fire at a cop. So the article goes in to say that the 96 rounds fired, a little extreme use of force for somebody who only fired one shot. I'm so fucking tired of the downplay of violence or the downplay of firing a bullet or the guns or what that can do. So now it's okay for us to say, well, he only fired one shot. Why were 96 fired back at him? Have we forgot that firing a fucking bullet at anybody can kill them? One.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. So I feel like there's such a desensitizing of violence, right? We see it in the media. We see it in video games. We see it in movies. It's almost like people think that, like, oh, he fired a shot at you. It's not that bad. No, that's fucking horrible.
Yeah.
And it's a police officer. And they have their guns drawn on you. Clearly, you're doing some shit you shouldn't have done. If it's mental illness, okay, that's one thing. But he still fired a shot, okay?
Yeah.
I'm upset that they didn't cap off another four rounds and make it an even 100. That guy gets out of the vehicle, okay? He's already fired a shot. They fired a ton of rounds. He's still alive enough to get out of the vehicle. He falls to the ground, and they say, well, because he fell to the ground, they kept firing. That's horrible. No, you don't know if he's still going to fire off shot. I'm shooting yeah. until they're taught to shoot until the threat is neutralized.
I don't know what PD training is, but kind of like military type stuff, you shoot them down. Like, you don't wait for them to make another move.
No.
You put six in them right away.
Or 96.
And here's the thing, too. Like, I don't know how many cops are there. I think it's hard to tell from the body footage, but I'm going to guess more than four.
Well, they said five are awaiting investigation.
Okay, cool. You're making a high-risk traffic stop, so there's going to be five people there, probably more.
So, well, let's just say, so at five officers, if they have a 15-round mag, that alone is 75 bullets.
I don't even care about doing the math there. Just think, like, I don't have time in my – you're one cop, I'm one cop, and there's three more over there. None of us have the time.
Or counting other shots.
Yeah, like, did Steve fire? Okay, now I can fire because he didn't fire. No, you all fire at the same time. You all see the threat. You all fire. I mean, 96 shots, it might sound excessive, but when you think about it, it's really not. And again, they might have stopped firing if he didn't get out of the car. Then he gets out of the car. For whatever reason, you're dying at that point. I mean, there's a lot of things that could be going through.
Sure.
But they don't know that the threat's neutralized at that point. They don't know if he's dropped his gun. If he, again, is going to fire another round. They don't know.
Yeah.
They've already been shot at once.
Yeah, so, and it goes on to say, like, you know, the mom, like I said, it's terrible from the standpoint of this was somebody's son. This was somebody's brother.
Absolutely.
Potentially, if I don't know if he was a father or not. He's a human being, right? Horrible.
Yeah.
However, I think the what makes this whole thing sad and the greater injustice is all the events that led to this that weren't remedied prior.
Yeah, because why would you not arrest him to begin with? He's awaiting trial for gun charges.
I'm going to go out on a limb, and anybody who works in any type of field in our industry, if you're a doctor or a nurse in the ER, if you're a private ambo driver, if you're police, if you're fire, if you're first responder, you have your regulars, right?
Yep.
You go on people that you know, people that are doing illegal activity, breaking the law, but are still cooperative. Mm-hmm. You go on people that are illegal, breaking the law, and you know that they're drug seeking, or you know they're scumbags, or you pull up and immediately go, I know this guy. He wants to catch us in something. There's a camera running. He know, you know, he's going to pull the I know my rights card. And be the victim and be a complete asshole and not work with you. And we still have a job to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if this guy was a regular, and this is just where my head goes, is, okay, so they got him for the seatbelt thing. He'd been in trouble for it before. He was parked in a crosswalk. He was awaiting gun charges. Was there more to this? And they know that maybe he's not necessarily the best guy. And they're like, hey, man, we also know that you've got all this other stuff going. Now, is that right? Is it okay for them to use those against him currently? For whatever's going on. I don't know. I don't know what violation he was in or what was going on in that scene. But is it possible? And the reason I bring this up is the article I was reading was saying that they're going to try and make this George Floyd 2.0.
Nah.
There's more to the story.
It's not even close. First of all, the George Floyd is a little BS, but this isn't even close.
Sure. But the thing that bothers me the most is going back to what you said about the white kid who did the thing. We have seen multiple times, and I can think of two incidents specifically within the last 2 years that never made headlines, never made news. We had an active shooter incident in our city. It was a black male who had bombs set up in a hotel, who walked through a lobby of a hotel, who was going to shoot people, started firing at cops, and they pinned him down behind a garbage can and shot. But you never heard about that because it didn't fit the narrative. You can't have the black mass shooter, right? And so it makes me wonder, like, there's so many things that happen, and we know about this because we see this all the time, but I'm going to say the quiet part out loud, and I hate that we are in a place where everybody tries to spin things, media tries to spin things. Yes, this is a tragic event, but there's all these other offsetting events that you'll never hear about because they don't fit a narrative.
Well, yeah, you could chop a clip up or take a narrative and spin it any way you want in this day and age, and it does. The only problem I will have with this on the surface, and I've only been thinking about it for the last 2 minutes, is I hate the pulled over for a seatbelt violation. Like,
sure,
get the fuck out of here. You saw I wasn't wearing a seatbelt from where you're at. Right. Like at that, right then I say, okay, dude, you might be fucking with me.
Sure.
Like you're pulling me over.
Even still, it's like, you're not pulling a gun and firing at a cop for fucking with you for a seatbelt.
No, but I feel that's that the old thing. Hey, you got a tail light out. What are you talking about?
Sure.
That's the thing I hate. Like, fuck you and your seatbelt thing.
But I just feel like the whole shooting, the mentality surrounding a gunshot and where we've got, I feel like the desensitizing of the danger that comes with that is, it's almost like people go, well, he only fired one shot. Why did they shoot 96?
I would love to see any one of these pundits who talk shit about cops in that particular situation strap up, go make some traffic stops and see how fucking scared you are.
Yeah.
Just fucking let me know how scared you are.
Yeah. And all the times that you're in fear of somebody who has no weapons because you're afraid they're going to beat your ass and you've got your hand on your gun waiting, hoping that you don't need to defend yourself.
And then
you're
like, do I
which
pull,
you're not allowed
do
to
I
do
pull
anymore.
My taser? Cops, do I pull my gun? What do I do? No, you don't have time. You do not have time.
Yeah.
And they talk about training and this and that and all that other bullshit. You don't have time.
Yeah.
These are split second decisions.
And this is in Chicago, which, I mean, nationally has had the most gun violence for the last, 20 years.
It's them
in Detroit, you know what I mean? So, I mean, I know people who are from Chicago who live there who have transferred here recently, and there's a reason they call it Chirac.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not a great place to be.
Dude, I'm going to make up the number because I can't remember the exact number, but it's not going to be very far off. I went to Chicago, I don't know, 2 years ago at this point. We're doing a training thing there. And I'm asking my Uber driver on the way back to the hotel. I'm like, hey, man, what's an area to avoid? I don't want to actually stumble into the wrong area.
He said nighttime.
No.
Everywhere.
No, he said, dude, like Chicago's safe, man. As long as you're minding your own business and just being cool. Like Chicago's good, man. Go wherever you want. I'm like, all right, well, maybe it's not as bad as the media's making it out to be.
Yeah.
The media loves to hype things up.
Sure.
And if
sensationalize.
You know, if it bleeds, it leads on the news, right? Anyway, I wake up the next day on the news. 68 people shot over the weekend. I'm like, God damn it, 68. And then the following statement was ahead of the historically violent 4th of July weekend. So it's going to get worse next weekend.
Oh my God.
It was like 68.
Clearly not every place was safe.
Dude, it was like 63 or 68 people shot. Not shots fired. 63 or 68 people got shot. Yeah. I don't know if they're all dead, but they got shot. Sure. And one of them was like at a funeral. Like, the guys came up, jumped out of a fucking minivan. You see him in an alley, run through the
minivan. They pop up out of caskets.
Dude, that would have been amazing. But no, they fucking went and shot up a funeral after a guy they probably just killed. Like, crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chicago's nuts. So if you're a cop there, I got my finger on the trigger too.
Yeah. I came across this. I read multiple articles, read multiple comments in the comment section. Just kind of struck a
It sucks that we're not going to be able to. I know for sure TikTok won't let us play any of these shorts.
Oh.
That's we already got censored for some Israel stuff.
Did we?
Yeah, it wasn't even bad.
Dude, that's awesome.
We're
already getting censored?
Yeah.
Hell yeah, we're doing something right.
We were just talking about the violence happening. Oh, no, it was
sending bombs there.
It was about the one story you were talking about where the guy was talking about, hey, the problem is not a.
Oh, it's a TikTok problem.
Yeah, it's a TikTok. Got censored for that.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. I think we're doing something right. Yeah. Will we be able to get back on though, right?
I'm sure. It was just the one video they took down.
Throttle it.
I don't know how many strikes you get before they say.
Hey, if you're watching this and you're a fan of the show at all, go to TikTok and like that video. Find that video and like it.
You can't.
Break the algorithm.
It's gone.
Oh, they took it down.
Yeah.
I thought you meant they just like pushed it towards the back so it's hard to find.
No. They took it down.
All right. Watch our shows when they release because they go. Apparently, they come down quick.
You might not get to see.
Okay. Well, let's talk about something else that might get us censored. So, did you hear about the most recent?
Look at that one there. That's darkened out.
They took it off.
Yeah.
Suck it.
What were you gonna say?
The extra $300 million we just sent to Ukraine.
An extra 300?
Yeah. So check this out. So I have a video of this and an article linked on this, but you don't need to necessarily play it. Let me read through this.
All right.
So during a House Armed Service Committee hearing, Congressman Jim Banks asked Dr. Celeste Wallander, who serves as the Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Affairs, about the Pentagon recently allocating $300 million in weapons to Ukraine after a miscalculation revealed a cost savings allowing the Pentagon to send additional aid. So basically, the Pentagon, let me read this next part. So this comes after the Pentagon revealed last month that the military remains overdrawn and needs at least $10 billion to replenish all the weapons it has pulled from its stocks to help Ukraine. $10 billion, okay? For the weapons that we've supplied. Not the money, just the weapons.
Yeah.
It also follows an announcement last year when the Pentagon officials revealed that they had overestimated the value of weapons the U.S. sent to Ukraine by $6.2 billion over the past 2 years, allowing the U.S. to provide more aid than previously anticipated.
Oh, man. Right?
So.
What a bummer for Northrop and Boeing.
For the military industrial complex. So rough. Sorry, fellas. So basically, the congressman starts off by asking Wallander if it's embarrassing that the Pentagon could just found $300 million that they didn't have before previously, and now they have $300 million, they're going to give it to Ukraine.
Remember when they lost $100 million?
Yeah. No big deal. When last year, one of her colleagues said it would be a bad idea to send $650 million of weapons to Taiwan without the cash to replace them. Okay? So he said, do you think it's dangerous to send Ukraine $4 billion in weaponry without the funding?
No.
Yeah, she said, well, we wouldn't be sending the capabilities to Ukraine were it not for Congress passing the appropriations for replenishment. So she just deflects and says, well, we're only doing it because Congress said it was okay. And they're going to replenish.
I'm sure she's deflecting like, hey, it ain't us. Yeah. It's them.
Yeah. Somebody's got to be the fall guy.
Yeah.
So he finishes his segment by saying he loses trust in her and the Pentagon when they can all of a sudden find an incredibly mind-blowing $300 million and send it to Ukraine instead of replenishing our own stockpiles.
Like find that under your car seat. Or like
how do you not have the budget for it, but all of a sudden, hey, we just found $300 million.
Dude, I saw a great meme. It was about the government taxes. It's like, just imagine stealing everyone's money and you're still $300 trillion of debt.
I remember seeing a video that said if we can just print money whenever we need it,
which we do,
why do we pay taxes? Why can't our government just print the money for that?
Yeah, Uncle Joe, I'm a little short this year, dude.
Oh my God. So yeah, I just, again, like with the whole Ukraine thing, like at what point, and I get the whole proxy war thing. I know we've been doing it forever. I know we did it in Afghanistan.
It's our thing, dude.
I get the whole reasoning behind it, but I miss the days when it was a fucking secret and we didn't know about it. And all of a sudden, like people would just be like, I don't know. I don't know where that $300 million is. It's missing. Like, and people are like, okay, well, that's messed up. We're going to get you out and get somebody in. Who knows? I almost miss those days versus the, well, we're going to send them more. We're going to send them more. And this is where it's going. And at what point does the U.S., big brother, go, hey, Ukraine, we've taught you how to fight. We've given you the gloves. We've given you some weapons. We've backed you up. Like, you got to figure this shit out on your own. Now, you need to walk out there and either be a man or get beat up. And if you get beat up, we'll step in and go, okay, they got beat up. Well, it's like when you're at the bar with your buddies, right? And you got that one guy who's being a dick and the bouncer's going to throw him out. And you're like, fuck, have at it, man. Throw him out. And afterwards, like, hey, we got him. We'll take care of him. Thank you. Like, we'll take it from here.
You ask how long it takes?
Yeah.
20 years.
Clearly.
That's how long it took with Afghanistan.
Exactly.
Here, we come in, we fight your battle for you. We train you up, give you some weapons. You're on your own now 20 years later.
Yeah.
And we leave overnight.
It's to the point with the Ukraine thing. I'm so fucking tired of hearing it. I'm so fucking tired of us giving money. Like, I get it. They're in a bad spot. We've done a lot for them. At some point, we need to go, okay, boys, like, well, either figure it out or fucking negotiate for peace.
Well, because it's not about Ukraine. Like,
I know.
Honestly,
I know.
They don't give a fuck about Ukraine. They just give a fuck about defeating Putin. That's, again, the proxy war.
Sure.
Don't care about
it. It's not us. It's Ukraine. We're going to support Ukraine.
We clearly don't care about Ukrainian lives. I mean, like otherwise we'd be arguing for peace, not for a continued war, nonstop war until the last man. Like that's insane. It's insanity. We're talking about human lives and everyone's just fuck it. Send them more weapons, send them more bombs. Like no, instead of negotiating for any kind of ceasefire, any kind of peace, same thing in Israel, like whatever, just keep dropping bombs. Fuck it.
Yeah,
dude, I got some wild shit about Israel, but we don't have enough time to get into it.
And we don't want to get censored off another
about their fucking AI genocide machine. Dude,
what?
Dude,
is that next episode?
Let's talk about it next. Well, dude, we could talk about it then. It's fucking.
I want to hear about it. I'm not going to look into it at all.
Basically, in a nutshell, this algorithm they come up with, like, oh, Steve's a fucking Hamas lieutenant and he's in the building over there. Like, yeah, he's in the building. It's an apartment building. Okay, we have an acceptable loss rate of. It even works out like if you're a lieutenant, we're okay killing 100 civilians. And
the AI is factoring in like these numbers?
Yeah. And it's completely crazy too, because it's wrong all the fucking time. And they're just leveling buildings because like there was a dude in there. There was a guy.
Holy shit.
One dude. And they're like, okay, we killed 50 civilians. No big deal.
Do you think that could be related to the story we talked about with the World Kitchen thing and the Israeli and the bombs getting dropped in all those vehicles when we were coming out trying to help people?
Totally. Yeah.
Is that AI? You think it could be related to the AI deal?
What do they fucking call it?
Dude, that's horrible.
What do they call this fucking thing? Because it's got a very sweet name.
It sounds cute.
It does. Let me find the name of precious. This shit. The Israel death machine. All right.
That's adorable.
It is.
Israel and its defenders swear the IDF has followed.
Oh, where's daddy AI? Well, they call the program Where's Daddy, but it's like called Lavender or something like that. Something sweet. Lavender. Yeah. Lavender kill list. There it is. It's something sweet. I'll link the video to the Breaking Points piece on it, but we could talk about it next show.
Lavender kill lists.
I keep wanting to say every time doing next show, I say, we'll talk about next shift. I just go there.
Next shift.
So what else you got, man? We're coming up on about an hour.
Yeah. So I had a couple more, but the only thing I want to talk about is, have you heard anything about the Powerball conspiracy?
No.
Okay. So there's a guy named Matt something. His Instagram handle is like Matt Attack or something like that, but I've linked it in the show notes. But he's
empty.
Should be.
Empty. Powerball conspiracy empty. We'll link it later.
Got it in mind. I don't. I'll put it in. I'll link it.
Continue.
So anyway, he made a post a couple days ago talking about there was some oddities behind the whole Powerball thing. Something seemed kind of shady. He's got quite a following. Mm-hmm. And so he had talked about last time the Powerball was in the billion range or whatever it was. There was some weird shit that happened too. So he had a new post and he kind of broke it down and he said, okay, so the most recent drawing was delayed 3 hours. Okay. And even though it was scheduled as normal, mm-hmm. they said due to a two-tier verification process error in Minnesota, it was delayed. Okay. So this was the day of the drawing. So at 4:59 a.m. after the drawing in Idaho time. And again, so he has in his video all the printouts of all these of what he's saying. And so what happened is he had a viewer who is a store clerk who sent him screenshots of all this stuff. Okay. Mm-hmm. So at 4:59 a.m. Idaho time, a store clerk in a store that sells lotto tickets checked the numbers in their lottery system. This is after the drawing. Okay.
She checked like the winning numbers?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So she apparently there's a deal where you can check the printout and it'll show you how many winning numbers were drawn after the drawing.
All right.
They have that access from the lottery machines. So she sent him a picture of this ticket. The printed out ticket clearly shows that the jackpot was won in 7 states.
Okay.
Okay. At 7:25 a.m., she checked again. Now it says, and this is a separate ticket that she has a screenshot of. Now it says the jackpot is won in 4 states, Arizona, Delaware, Florida, and Iowa. Okay. Fast forward to the morning news on the same morning, and only one winner is announced, and it was in Oregon. So it went from 7 winners at 4:59 a.m., 4 winners at 7:25, and on the news, they said only one winner, and it was in a state that isn't listed on any of those winning ticket printouts that she had printed off the machine. Okay. So allegedly, a similar delay took place the last time the Powerball jackpot was in 1 billion, and it was like 8 hours the delay took place the last time they won. And I don't know if that was one winner or multiple winners, but he says, you know, I think there's something crazy about this. It seems kind of rigged, such a large number. It almost seems like a corporation or a company or somebody pocketed it, or somebody has knowledge about what happened, but it doesn't seem like it's actually a legit official drawing.
That's crazy.
I wonder. So for the machine to print the tickets out, and the lottery machine, all the lotto information on it says these are the winning tickets provided, and it had 7 up winners, jackpot shows JP, jackpot winners. And the next time it shows 4 in Arizona, Delaware, Florida and Iowa were on them. Mm-hmm. And the next time they announced it in the morning, and Oregon was the winner.
Dude, I wonder what is there any official actual.
I don't know. And I haven't gone a whole lot deeper than just what his video said and kind of taking the notes. I didn't have time this morning to kind of delve super deep in that, but I saw that. And you know, I love a good conspiracy.
So, and you know what? And my previous argument, and I just thought of this right now. My previous argument to these type of things, I'm like, really? This has been going on for how long? And it just one dude figured this thing out. Just one random dude.
Right.
And then just in my head, I thought of, hey, remember when the city was mispaying people and nobody knew about it. And then one dude on the job
figured it out.
Just one random dude. And then all of a sudden we got Becker Bucks.
Well, and it makes me think of, do you remember hearing the whole big scandal behind the McDonald's Monopoly game?
Yep.
And the people that were winning the jackpots were all from the same family.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this wouldn't be the first time somebody tried pulling a fast one. It wouldn't be the first time somebody in some place of power or control or manipulated something. So maybe there's validity there. Maybe there's not. I just thought it was super interesting.
That is interesting. I like that.
Especially with it, with the video that I'll link, him showing the screenshots of this worker in the store, that this clerk that sells lotto tickets, and the printouts from the machine clearly all labeled. So
that is weird. Like, I wonder, is the lottery board just going to ignore the whole thing and say, fuck it?
I don't know. I mean, if nobody makes a big enough deal, if they say, and again, it kind of goes back to, if you bought a ticket and I'm the news and I go, oh, one person won, they're in Oregon, the odds are so astronomical that you're going to go, oh, it makes sense, I didn't win. You're not going to go, I don't know about that, I'm going to question that. You know what I mean?
Oh, whoops. I was like, let me find a little sound.
We need to get that on
I've kind of forgot it's going to play on the thing, yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, Powerball conspiracy.
Interesting. All right, dude. Well, I think we're coming up at that time of the show.
Which show? What time?
I don't know.
If time this for is gonna the work, fireside?
Because Adam normally does this. Not that.
Not the fireside.
No, I don't know where the fuck you put that.
Not that
fireside!
One.
Fireside! Fuck yeah! Get some!
Fireside.
That's it. It's time for the fireside, ladies and gentlemen.
Can't function without Adam, apparently.
I figured it out now. I don't know why you put it down there, but I figured it out.
We should have him labeled.
We should.
So, in the fireside, I found something that... So, Adam sent me something. I actually had an article.
Mm-hmm.
Adam sent me something that was almost related, and then I figured I would piggyback on our own shit show on top of that. So,
which one?
Our shit show is the last one.
The Phoenix... Yeah.
Yeah. So, the first one was...
This one's a great one. It's been shown everywhere.
The California Mountain Rescue. Did you see that?
No, let's take a look.
So, this was a couple days ago. And so there's actually, that's a thermal imaging camera. So this is at night. So a hiker who fell off a cliff in California was rescued by the Sonoma County Sheriff's Office with the help of thermal imaging from the Southern Marin Fire District. Hiker fell about 50 or 60 feet and was about 40 feet from the waterline, just clinging onto the side of the mountain, holding on. So this was a night ops helicopter rescue. And you can hear in the video, which it's linked, but the whole time the rescuer is going, "Don't let go. Don't let go."
Oh, shit. I didn't see, realize that.
But he's slipping him into the harness. It's super wild. So, like, when you first see the thermal imaging, you think it, I mean, it looks like daytime. Like, oh, it must be during the day. Right. And then when it cuts to the live, you realize it's night.
Dude, he is, like, barely hanging on.
Hey,
barely.
Don't let go,
wonder how long
man.
He was
don't
there for.
Go, okay?
I know
go.
It says in the article. I couldn't, I didn't write it all down. But just the video
Line
itself.
Left hand in here, brother. There you go. I mean,
just
right here,
the helicopter
right
rescue ops in general, innately dangerous, right? And so it just made me think of, like, I think there's a lot of people who don't understand what we do, who don't know what we do, that might hear the show, that think, like, it's just part of what the fire department does. If I'm hiking or I'm stuck on a mountain or it's the middle of summer, like, I get stuck, they're just gonna fly the helicopter and come rescue me, which is a horrible idea. There's so much that could go wrong. This one, obviously, the side of the cliff, the water's below. He's 40 to 50 feet or 60 feet off the main trail, falling down, and he's clinging on for, you know, dear life. But the rotor blades could hit something. Debris could be flying. You know, that helicopter itself could crash.
Yeah, it could even be in a spot where they can't even fly to get you.
That's
like,
what
okay,
I'm saying.
Now we're talking about now, rappelling down, and it's an infinitely longer evolution.
And all the people you're putting at risk that are trying to come rescue you, I mean, it's just a recipe for disaster. So I had this saved for fireside. I wanted to talk about it. And we've got some pretty good mountain rescue stuff and footage that we have. But Adam sent me this, the next clip. So this is a Japanese typhoon helicopter rescue. So in 2019, Super Typhoon.
Does this have sound?
No.
Okay.
Super Typhoon Hagibis.
Yeah.
Which hit Japan October 12th. Claimed 40 lives from the article I read at the point that it was written.
Oh, damn.
One of which was this woman who was being hoisted up by Tokyo.
Oh, she died?
Tokyo Fire Department rescue helicopter.
No.
When she fell from the hoist.
No.
Oh, yeah. And they have video of it.
No, she fell out.
Oh, yeah. Right about here. R.I.P.
Oh, my God.
Dude, is that not wild?
You're thinking, all right, safety. Yeah. Sweet safety.
So the 77-year-old woman died after rescuers reportedly failed to properly attach the safety harness to her. According to the fire department, two personnel were taking part in the rescue operation in which the woman had been wrapped in a bag-shaped carrier that was being winched to safety. Mm-hmm. One of the rescuers dropped her because she had not been properly secured to the hoist. How horrible.
Dude, what do you think she said to him up there where he's like, fuck it.
Faster! What's taking so long?
This isn't worth it.
It's horrible to laugh about that. I mean, that's... It's kind of what we do, though. I mean, that's our way.
Like, we're not assholes. It's just, I don't know. It's just maybe a defense mechanism.
But, dude, can you believe that? That's wild.
That is crazy. Could you imagine how that guy feels, the rescuer?
It's after a natural disaster. It's a typhoon. There's wreckage and carnage. You don't know everything behind it. How many hours they've been doing this. Not that it's okay. We're not justifying it. But
no, but I mean, Jesus.
What a horrible deal.
Again, yeah, we don't know working
conditions. To have that on tape?
Oh, speaking of having horrible rescues on tape, like...
And I couldn't show horrible rescues without...
Oh, where is it?
...posting something that we had that made national news. And I don't want to put anybody on blast.
I feel like this has been seen everywhere.
Yeah.
But she didn't die.
No, she didn't.
That die. I know of.
So this is a local fire department.
Yeah, got her in the Stokes basket.
Got the tagline.
I've asked a couple.
At some point, the tagline.
I got the explanation for what went wrong. I can't remember.
She gets caught in the rotor wash, and she ends up pulling about 4 G's in her spin.
All right, that's all we got for this week. So anything else?
I'm good, man.
All right. So again, we kind of want to hear any stories you have. You can email us at contact@thefiresideshow.com. You can go to our lovely website here. You can scroll. It shows the email address right there. You can even come down here, record a voice message, send it to us so we can hear your beautiful voice. You can remain anonymous or tell us who you are, what department you work for. We can do a video call. If you want to get as famous as we are, have 13 people follow you, you can be a part of that. So yeah, that's all I got, man.
Yeah, right on, dude. We're heading to Boston, and Adam will be back next show, and hopefully we'll have some
hell yeah
new stuff to share.
All right, man. That's it.
All right. See you guys next time.
Later.